Welcome back, everybody. Go ahead. I asked my wife to play that just before service started in honor of Memorial Day, which is celebrated tomorrow. I thank you, Pastor, for the hospitality. Thank you, folks, for the fine meal and the food and the fellowship out there. And we appreciate you allowing us to come in. Greatly appreciate you putting up with me and my speed preaching this morning and learning about our ministry and what God has called us to do. Now, I mentioned in the service this morning that there are three holidays that deal with military. Armed Forces Day was just a couple of weeks ago, and that's for those who are serving on active duty now, or in the, you know, they're in uniform now. Veterans Day in November is for those of us who have served and are now out, and we made it home. And by the way, brother, I don't think I told you, welcome home. Welcome home. For those of you, a lot of folks don't know, those who served in Vietnam, a lot of them did not get a good welcome home that they should have gotten. But there are those of us who don't make it home, and we celebrate their memory on Memorial Day in May, and I'll talk about that. Open up your Bibles, if you would, with me to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And we'll be looking at just three verses at the end. Now, a lot of people, you look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, and you're going to say, well, why is he going there for Memorial Day? Because it's got the qualifications of a pastor. It's got the qualifications of a deacon. But then there's some verses at the end that we're going to take a look at, and we won't be dealing with whether or not your pastor is qualified to be here. So you're off the hook, brother. You know. In April of 1863, in Columbus, Mississippi, after decorating the graves of her two sons who died representing their beloved Southern land in the Civil War, an elderly woman walked to two mounds of dirt at the corner of the cemetery to place flowers there also. "What are you doing?" her friend shouted. "Those are the graves of two Union soldiers." Softly, that compassionate mother said, "I know. I also know." Excuse me. "That somewhere in the North, a mother or a young wife mourns for them as we do for ours." That deed set in motion the celebration which has become Memorial Day. We honor those who have died defending our country once a year, but their sacrifice is evident every single day of the year. We have the freedom to gather here and hear God's word preached and to worship our God and to say and speak out, and to vote, and to things like that. That freedom every day is an evidence of their sacrifice. And on Memorial Day, we honor the memory of all of those who sacrificed their lives on the altar of freedom. The thousands, those thousands of sacrificed lives were not given in vain. Amen? They were not given in vain. Because of their sacrifice, we have the right to assemble and worship. Think of the numbers of those who died to preserve the freedoms that we enjoy today. Revolutionary War, 25,324. Pardon me. I don't know why that story just hit me so hard right then. I apologize. Civil War, 498,332. World War I, 116,710. World War II, 407,316. The Korean War, 54,546. The Vietnam War, 58,098. Desert Storm, 293. And the Global War on Terrorism, 7,057 and still rising. Thankfully, there hasn't been any combat-related deaths in that war in several months. Today, as we look at tomorrow being Memorial Day, I want to talk to you about one great soldier. This great soldier stepped onto a harsh battlefield one day. He took up arms and entered the fight knowing that it would cost him everything. This soldier bravely entered the battlefield and won a great victory, but at a terrible price. His life was not given in vain, but the sacrifice of his life served to set free many captives. This great soldier gave his life not for a nation, but for all of humanity. Amen. Today, let's remember a man named Jesus and the sacrifice that he made for all of us. For the Christian, every day should be a day of memorial for Christ, or of Christ. So the title of the message this afternoon is Memorial Day is Every Day. Memorial Day is every day. Let's pray and then we'll get right into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for such a blessed day. Lord, and for these folks here at this church. Lord, thank you for the faithful who are still here now. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to deliver your message. And once again, Lord, I ask, please don't let me get in the way. Just let me speak your word and deliver appropriately. Lord, open every heart and every mind. Help them to hear and understand, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Look at verses 14, 15, and 16, if you would, with me. 1 Timothy chapter 3. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. And we'll be focusing primarily on verse 16 and the statements contained within that last verse there. The first thing we want to remember in this memorial of Christ, Memorial Day every day, is remember his appearing. The verse there says, after the colon says, God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh in the form of Jesus Christ. This reminds us of one of the greatest events in human history. Because without this, he was just a man. He was manifest through an immaculate conception of the Holy, with the Holy Spirit and a virgin named Mary. It reminds us of the moment when the Creator God Himself stepped out of eternity into time and came into this world as a human baby. Jesus laid aside His heavenly address, just like a military member joins the military and then leaves home and goes away someplace else, like those folks in Germany that we're going to go minister to, or other places, or combat zones. Like every one of those soldiers in the armed forces, Jesus came to earth. He left His home. He had, from all eternity, lived in heaven. He existed in a place of perfection, free from sin, pain, suffering, and sorrow. He came from a land where He was exalted, honored, and worshipped. Yet He willingly left all of that behind to enter this sin-cursed, hate-filled world. He came to a world where even those who had longed for His appearing would reject Him. John 1:11 says, "He came unto His own, and His own received Him not." He came to a land where He would be ridiculed, hated, and killed. Yet He came anyway. Jesus laid aside His heavenly address. Jesus laid aside His heavenly apparel. When someone enters the military, they cease to wear their same clothes that they wore as a civilian. And they put on the uniform of their country. And they represent. And they don that uniform of their nation. God came to earth and He robed Himself in human flesh. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Or Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He lived here as a man among men and died as a man to redeem men from his sins. Because Jesus left heaven and came into this world, He knew pain and suffering and rejection, hunger, thirst, loneliness, and many of the other problems that are part of our human condition. He suffered all that He did so that He might feel our pain and know how to comfort us when our trials come. Hebrews 2:18, for in that He Himself hath suffered being tempted, He is able to secure or help aid them that are tempted. Because He was tempted, because He suffered, He knows what we've gone through. Keep your finger here and look over at Hebrews chapter 4 real quick. Hebrews chapter 4. Come on now. It's not that far. And I turned way too far. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Jesus put away got rid of His heavenly address and His heavenly apparel and came. So we should be remembering. I just realized I didn't mash the button. It's on now. Sorry about that. I haven't wandered too much so you can hear me here, but Jesus, we have to remember His appearing. Secondly, when we remember and do this memorial for Christ every day, Memorial Day is every day, We need to remember His accomplishments. Back to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. The first part said, God was manifest in the flesh. That's His appearing. Secondly, we see the phrases justified in the Spirit and the phrase seen of angels. These two phrases speak of the divine approval that was upon His life and upon His work here on earth. The miracles, the powerful teaching, the changed lives, and the statements of God the Father prove that Jesus was operating under a divine approval. God the Father saw the service He rendered and was pleased. Matthew 3:17, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Matthew 17:5, while He yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye Him." Hey, we should be listening to what Jesus says because God approved it and He told us to listen to Him, hear Him. When Jesus came into this world, He was born and He lived and He died without sin. He perfectly fulfilled the law of God, and His perfect service was accepted by the Father. So when we remember His accomplishments, first remember His perfect service. When we look at military, it's all about the service record. Is it a good service record? Does He have? Secondly, is His perfect sacrifice. A military member may be wounded. He may even spill his own blood or even die during his service. Jesus did not come into this world just to live and to serve. He came to die. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And sometimes people will quote that and stop right there, but that verse doesn't stop. It goes on and it says, and to give His life a ransom for many. He came for the purpose of dying for you and me, to sacrifice. Jesus Christ, the perfect and sinless Son of God, was beaten horribly. He was then taken to a place called Calvary and nailed to a cross. Like we just sang about. He did not die because He was a bad man or because He was a criminal. He did not die because He deserved it. He died because we deserved it. He died because He came in this world, into this world to save sinners. Look at I'll just read it. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. But all of His suffering was for one reason. You. We think about Memorial Day and we think about soldiers sacrificing for us and for our country. Jesus sacrificed for you. Personally, individually and personally. He died so that you might have life. He endured the cross so that you might be saved. His shed blood to redeem you from your sins and to make it possible for you to be saved. His death made Romans 10:13 a real possibility. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Please, if you're here today and you haven't put your name there and called upon the name of the Lord, please get that straight before you go today. I know there's just a few of us here, but you know what? Jesus had just a few around Him and He had one that was lost with Him that He chose. That means in a group this size, there's at least one person. And folks, I don't know who you are. I'm sorry that I don't have enough time to get you know you well enough. But somebody's in here that needs to be saved. So today, let's remember a man named Jesus who took our sins upon Himself and died in our place at the cross. After Jesus died, He was buried in a tomb and it was sealed up. Just like if you look on the front cover of your
look at your bulletin, you'll see crosses. And in a video, we had the Veterans Cemetery picture with all the tombstones. They were buried and sealed in. But unlike them, 3 days later, Jesus rose. He rose from the dead. This is further proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be all along. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead was God's amen to everything that Jesus had claimed to be and said and done. God said, amen. Because he died and rose again, his perfect sacrifice has value to all. Soldiers die on the battlefield, and we remember them. And their, as I said in the beginning, their sacrifice has value to us. As a whole, and to some of us individually. But Jesus has, to all of us individually, has value. We remember his perfect salvation. Back in 1 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16, the next verse says, we are told that Jesus was preached unto the Gentiles. The gospel came to a people who did not know God. The grace of God allowed his gospel to be preached among people who did not know him and did not want him. They still today do not want him and do not know him, and yet we still preach the gospel today to him. He sent his saving gospel to a people who are helplessly and hopelessly lost in sin. Just like the people that are around us today. God reached out to a people who are vile and wicked. God's grace fixed it so that we could be saved through simple faith. His word allowed us to hear about salvation. His perfect salvation. His salvation is powerful. We are told by the phrase, believed on in the world, that this gospel message is a powerful one. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, when lost sinners hear the gospel, they have a choice to make. They can believe it or reject it. And those that believe in and accept it and repent of their sins are saved by His grace. And those who reject it are bound, they're still headed down the same path they were before, which is bound straight for hell. And friends, that place was not designed for us. It was designed for Satan and his angels, his demons. Not for us. And none of us should go, and God doesn't want any of us to go there. That's why we must never give up on trying to reach the lost. Amen. We never know when and where the Lord will move in power and save that one precious soul. Amen. Thirdly, we need to remember His ascension. Look back in verse 16 again. We had manifest, that was His coming, manifest in the flesh. Justified in the Spirit and seen of angels, that was His accomplishments and the fact that it was approved by God, that it was preached unto Gentiles and believed on in the world, that was His salvation and His service and then His salvation. And then we see received up into glory. The glory of His ascension is the first part of that. And when a service member finishes his mission alive, he returns home. If not, he returns home in a box with a flag draped over it. If he returns home alive and he was victorious, he might get a parade. He might get some medals. Maybe he just gets a simple coin and a handshake. Who knows? But after accomplishing his earthly mission, Jesus ascended back to his heavenly home and was enveloped in the glory that he had before. He had before he came to earth, that which he set aside, he put it back on. Look at Acts chapter 1 with me real quick. Keep your finger here in Timothy. We'll be right back to it. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Well, listen, I know that fried chicken is getting to you, but stay with me. We'll be done shortly, I promise. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through... not chapter 9, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Can't even go to the place I told you to go to. There we go. Acts chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall also come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So there's the glory of his ascension because he was taken back into heaven after he rose from the dead. Sorry. But then there's the gravity of his ascension. The gravity. Now he's not going to fall back down to earth, but there's the gravity of his ascension, which is the gravity, the thought process of it. When he ascended back into heaven, he did so with a promise that he was going to return again someday. Look at now John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3. Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The fact that he is returning for his people adds that element of gravity to his ascension back to heaven. Because when he comes back, he's not coming back for everyone. He is not, let me say that again, when he comes back, when he came the first time, he came for everyone. When he comes back, he is not coming back for everyone according to his word. He is coming back only for his people. Only for those who are saved by his grace and are washed in his blood. Therefore, my friends, you need to be sure today that you are saved. Because it could be, you know, the next alarm on my watch might not go off before he comes back. It could be a long time. It could be the next minute. We don't know. You need to get that straight today. Matthew 24:44 says, "Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." You don't think that he's coming, and he'll come. I think... an opinion, and I talked about this with Pastor, looking at the news, looking at the things going on in the world, plus reading the Bible, it says we're one day closer. Every day we're one day closer. Amen. But you can look at this, what's going on in the world and see that he is coming back soon. Yes. And it's sooner and sooner, and it seems to be going faster and faster and faster. Yes. The things that are going on, they're all set up. Now, I've read to the end, and I know what happens in the Bible. You can do it for yourself, too. But you can see the setup of the things that are going to happen. Over 1 million men and women have died to guarantee our freedoms as Americans. They gave their all so that we might enjoy all the blessings of this great land. And today, this afternoon, and tomorrow on Memorial Day, we honor their memory and their sacrifice. And thank God for every one of them. But remember, Memorial Day is every day. One day, heaven's greatest soldier came to this earth and died to give us eternal freedom from the penalty, power, and presence of sin. We must never forget who Jesus is, what he has done for us, and where he is taking us someday. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tomorrow we have a so-called holiday called Memorial Day. Lord, where we pause to remember those who have died for us in this country in many battles. But Lord, help us, even then when we observe that, what we remember the one who died for us in the greatest battle, the battle against sin and death, and won the battle, won the war. Lord, and He is Jesus Christ. Help us to remember that every day and be appreciative of it every day. And Lord, if there is one here, Lord, if there is just one person here that does not know You this afternoon as Savior, cannot look back and say, this is when I accepted Jesus Christ, and give a biblical reason why they are saved and going to heaven, Lord, please move the Holy Spirit with them right now and allow them to come to You before they leave this place and to get it straight, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.